Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Where God get all
of the praise. God said, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. It is time that men and women, boys and girls, be drawn closer unto the Lord. And we're here today to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word that is able to save your soul. And we want you today to get ready to enjoy the Lord today. Enjoy his word coming from the word of God. The word of God is a sure word. The word of God is a final word, the word that we can stand on, word that we can rely on, that we can depend on. Today we're coming from the 2 Kings, that 5th chapter, and we're going to begin at that first verse, and we're going to talk about Naaman's leprosy. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Let's read that again. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Let's stop here again. Naaman, the word of God let us know that he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Naaman was a great man with his master. It tells us that Naaman also, when we read further, it tells us that Naaman was also honorable. Let's read here in the second verse. It said, and the Syrians had gone out by the companies and had brought away captives out of the land of East of Israel, a little maiden, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Okay, we find here that Naaman was a man that had great credentials. He tells us that he brought credit to his master. He had a good reputation. He had high rank, and he had dignity, and he also had distinction. And it tells us that in that third verse, how that they had brought a maiden over from Syria and attacked to Syria, and Naaman was, and she see that her master was needed to be healed. So it says here that, and she said unto her mistress, let's start in that second verse, and the Syrian had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maiden, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, it was a purpose why God allowed this maiden to be taken, or it was a purpose that God had allowed her to be in a place that she was in. Sometimes we wonder, why am I in this place? Why is these things happening to me? And yet God has a plan for all our life. Yes, sometimes we don't understand different situations that come from us and that come upon us, but yet when we wait on the Lord, when we begin to know God's purpose for our life, God will open up our understanding, our revelation, give us that knowledge that we need, because God wants to use us. Sometimes we say, God, use me. God, have your way in my life. But when we begin to look back on our lives, when we begin to look at that now, look at what's happening at that present time, we don't really understand sometimes what is happening and why are we in the place that we were. And I am so sure that even this maiden, she wasn't from her own land. She was taken from her own land. She was taken out of Israel. And she was serving Naaman's wife. And here we find that she's in that third verse, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with a prophet that is in Samaria, but he will recover him of his leprosy. She's saying, if Naaman was in Israel, if Naaman, if a prophet was there, that was in Israel, that she knew that her master would be recovered from the leprosy that he had. When we think about recover means to restore, to bring back to a normal position. It means to regain something that has been lost. And so, therefore, we find that young maiden wasn't there just to be there, but she touched their lives in some kind of way. I believe that she just wasn't talking just to be talking. I believe that even before this happened, that they paid attention to this maiden, because I believe that she was different. I believe that when it said E.F. Sutton speaks, everyone listen. I believe that they listened to this maiden, and that's not because of her prestige, not because she had distinction and she had a good reputation. And I just believe, like Naaman did, but I believe that she had something to say. So she was saying to Naaman's wife, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with a prophet that was in Samaria, but he would recover him of this leprosy. If he was there, he won't no longer have this leprosy. If he was there, he would be recovered of this sickness and of this disease. When we begin to think about Naaman, it let us know that Naaman, as I said before, he was a high-ranking officer. He had helped bring deliverance to Syria, and he was great in the eyes of his master. It tells us that he was a mighty man in valor, but yet at the same time, Naaman was a leper. And when we think about leprosy disease, it is a disease that attacks the skin. It is a disease that attacks the flesh. It's a disease that attacks the nervous system. And the person usually experiences sores and boils on their skin. Also, leprosy attacks the hands and the feet of a person. So here we find that it is a debilitating type disease. So here she knew that her master needed to be healed, and she was letting her master wife know, the mistress know, that if Naaman was over in the land of Israel, the prophet will be able and to heal him of his leprosy, that he'll be able to recover him. And so after she had told him, then one went in, we don't know who went in, and told the Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter. She had to have something about her that will cause someone to go and speak to the king. She had to have something about her that they believe her, that the king will pay attention and knew that the young maiden was speaking the truth. They knew that if what she was saying, it was some hope that this honorable man, this mighty man, would receive his healing. So the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. It let us know he didn't just send them to the king of Israel. He sent them with gold and with silver. He didn't send them empty. But I'm coming to you, and I want to show you my good faith. And I heard that you're able to heal and recover the leprosy. And here is my servant, one that served me. He is an honorable man. I want you to recover him of his leprosy. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou may recover him of his leprosy. And as we said before, recover means to restore. I want you to bring him back to his to the normalcy, to bring him back to regain what has been lost. I want you to bring healing to him. He's been a good man. He's been valiant. And I would like to see him heal. I want to see him recover of this leprosy, of this disease that is upon his flesh. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. Oh, my God. When we speak of rent, we're talking about a person that is in great grief, a person that is despair, that will rent, that will tear their clothes. And when we think about, as an example, we think about Reuben, how he rent his clothes after they had put, the brothers had put him in this pit, how they put Joseph in this pit. And when he came back, that Joseph was taken out of the pit and was sold. And he began to rent his clothes because they had, that he didn't know what they had done at first with their brother, Joseph. So the king, he had rent his clothes. And he said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man do ascend to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a war against me. He, the king of Israel, thought that this was the king of Syria way of seeking a quarrel against him. So therefore, he knew that I'm not the one that's going to cause this man. I don't know how to recover this man. Wait a minute, this man has leprosy. He has a debilitating type of disease. You know, how am I going to heal him? I'm not God. God is the one that kills and to make alive. He's the one that brings alive, kills and make alive. I'm not that man. So it really caused him to be in despair. And that's what caused him to rent his clothes, because he knew that he did not have the power in order to heal Naaman of this disease. And let's read here in this in the last B section of this scripture, the seventh verse. He said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man do ascend unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, let's talk about the man of God. When the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Oh, my God. don't you just get excited about this? The king of Israel could not heal Naaman of his leprosy. Yes, he was the king. Yes, he had prestige. Yes, he ruled over many people. But yet, he knew that he did not have the power to heal Naaman of this disease. And also, when we think about the king of Syria, he could not heal him neither. That's why he sent him to the king of Israel. And when he got the news, remember when he received that news, he rent his clothes. And yet, when the man of God, Elisha, when he heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he told them to send him to him. Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. There is a man of God. There is a man of God that believes God's word. There's a man of God that's standing on God's word. There's a man of God that you can know that God is God, and he is God all by himself. Yes, he is able to heal. He's able to deliver. He's able to make a man free. So here in that ninth verse, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. My God, my God. This is where Naaman thought it's going to take happen. This is a place that I'm getting ready to be here. So Naaman came with his horses. He came with a chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Oh, look at God. Look at God. Elisha didn't even come. God is even going to show up, do a greater miracle. Elisha didn't even come. Naaman thought that the man of God was going to come. He had sent a messenger and told Naaman to go and wash in Jordan. He said, don't just wash in Jordan, but I want you to go and I want you to wash in Jordan. And I want you to wash 7 times. And when you wash 7 times in the river of Jordan, you shall be clean. Just go and wash in the river of Jordan. But Naaman, in that 11th verse, said Naaman was wroth. He was mad. He was upset. And he went away and said, behold, I thought, this is how we get in trouble sometimes. He said, I thought he was sure to come out to me. See, he already been given. What did I say before? Naaman, he was great in the eyes of his master. Naaman was an honorable man. He brought credit to the king of Syria. He had a good reputation. He had a high rank. He had distinction. So therefore, he thought that he was somebody. He thought that in certain things, I'm too good to do certain things. I'm too good to go and wash in the river of Jordan. And not only that, because I am who I am, it was only fitting for the prophet Elisha to come out to me. But he didn't, none of that happened. But Naaman was, so he was wroth. He went away, and he said, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand. Come on. He had it all made up in his mind. He had already imagined what was going to happen. I mean, what was going to happen to him, how Elijah was going to come, and how he was going to come to him and stand and call on the name of the Lord and strike his head. over the place and recover the leprosy. He had it all figured out in his mind what was going to happen. Isn't it so how when things happen in our lives, we, in our own imagination, in our own flesh, in our carnality, in the way that we think, we have things all figured out, how God is going to do certain things in our life. I know he's going to do it this way. You know, I know he's going to do it that way. You know, and so yet he had it all figured out what the man of God was going to do in order to bring about the healing of the leprosy that was on his body. He had it all figured out. But, you know, God knew that Naaman had a pride problem. He knew that Naaman needed to be humble. Don't you know that God knows how to humble us? Do you know that the word of God know how to bring us in subjection? Look at what the word of God said. He said in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, it said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way, he said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So here we find that he was dealing with an ankle problem. He was robbed. He was not humble. He thought things should go his way because of who he was. And so God was giving him a lesson in humility and being humble, and also to let him know that he was God, that God was God, and he was God all by himself. And this is what Naaman said in that 12th verse. He said, I'm not a banner and Pharpah, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Oh, my God. Now, this man had leprosy. He was going to die. He was a disease that was going to cause him to eventually life to be taken. And yet he's trying to give direction in his mind. He's thinking that I'm too good to go down into the river of Jordan and dip seven times and wash seven times. No, there's other rivers other than this dirty river, the river of Jordan. There's other rivers that I can go in that's better than this river that he's trying to send me in. That river of, he was saying, he was naming them. I'm not Abana and Pharpah, river of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. He was high-minded. He was thought that he was better. He thought that he, because of who he was, they should let him dip somewhere else, not in the river of Jordan. May I not wash in them? He was asking a question. May not I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. How many times have you seen people get in a rage? How many times have they lost control? And usually when a person is enraged, they're not just angry, but they have lost control. You know, they can't even think right. They do things that are not, normal. They lose control. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Listen at his servant. And I just believe even as that servant was speaking unto him, that the Lord was even just touching his heart even more. You know, because sometimes when you're enraged and you're angry, you can't even think right. And number one, his heart wasn't right. And God was just speaking into his heart. that let us know, Naaman, if I've asked you to do something great, if a man of God has asked you to do something great, would you not have been willing to do it? Would thou have not done it rather than, and he said, all he wants you to do is to go and to watch in the river of Jordan. His servant was just able to, and I just believe with a tone of voice that he was speaking to Naaman. He said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee to wash and be clean? Don't you want to be made whole? Don't you want to be clean? Then went he down. He said something to touch his heart. That servant said something to touch his heart. I believe, you know what, when I began to think about God used that servant, that maiden servant in Syria, to talk to Naaman's mistress and to let her know that there was healing in Israel, and that the prophet was able to cure him of his disease. And here we find again, after they had hoped and believed that he was going to be healed, he went to the land of Israel. The king couldn't heal him, but the prophet, when he heard that the king had rent his clothes, the prophet said, send him to me, and you'll know, and they'll know that there is a prophet in Israel. So after they told him, he could give an instruction. Sometimes it's very difficult for a man that's walking in the flesh. When I say man, I'm talking about man and woman. It is so difficult sometimes when we walk in the flesh, when we walk in carnality, to be obedient, to follow instructions, to do those things that God tells us to do. I know that it's a better way. If God say go east, somebody's going to go west. If God say go north, somebody's going to go south. God is giving instructions for this day and this hour for us to be obedient to him. And it's going to take our obedience in order to receive what we need from God. It's going to take our obedience to be saved and to be delivered. Somebody want to be saved, but they want to be saved in the way that they think that they can be saved. They want to give. They want to give to the poor. They want to help those that are less fortunate. They want to give money to different things, but they don't want to give their life to Christ. They don't want to live the way that God wants them to live. They don't want to lay aside every weight of sin that so easily beset them and run with patience the race that's set before them. Everybody, there are different people that want to do different things in order to get unto heaven. But God, he gave perfect instruction. He has already given the way. The word of God say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not the one way of that you're going to get unto me. There is a way in the word of God, a highway of holiness. And holy without the word of God said, no man shall see the Lord. So here we find that again, we find in the word of God that Naaman, his servant, had instructed him to go do what the prophet has asked you to do. You know, if he asked you to do something that was great, he would have done it. So, but all he wants you to do, to go and to wash in the river of Jordan. And when you wash, you're going to recover. And then he went down. Then Naaman went down and dip himself seven times. And as we said before, he didn't dip one time because a prophet didn't tell him to dip one time. He didn't dip two times because a prophet did not tell him to dip two times. He didn't dip four or five times because a prophet didn't tell him. But he had to dip six. He dipped that six and seven times like the prophet told him. And he had to go not only to dip, but he had to dip in the river of Jordan. And when he did according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Oh my God, look at God at work. Look at what happens when we obey God. Look at what happens when we humble ourselves. Look what happens when we don't walk in the flesh. Look what happens when we don't get in anger and strife. Look what happens when we don't get into that spirit of rage inside of us and let it take over us instead of God taking over our hearts and our minds. Oh, look what happens. So therefore, it tells us that the man, that Naaman, was able to recover from the sickness that he had. He was able to recover of that leprosy. We already told you what leprosy is. We already let you know that leprosy could have cost his life. Sometimes when we don't do what God would have us to do, we are playing just like Russian roulette. Because of the fact that we are taking chances, Naaman is a man of God, is that servant of God. And I believe that the best before, that that servant was speaking to his master and letting him know that if he just go dip into this river of Jordan, that he was going to be made whole and be able to recover of his leprosy. If we just give our lives to Christ, if we just say yes to God's will and yes to his way, we can be saved. But there are so many things that upon the people's heart, there are so many things today that will cause people not to be saved. Religion will cause you not to be saved. Doing it our way will cause you not to be saved. But we have to do it the way that God has called us to do in these last days and from the foundation of this world. The word of God says, whosoever will, let him come. I don't care if you black, if you white, you yellow, or you red, you come on. I don't care what you did in your life, whether you was a fornicator, a homemonger, whether you was a adulteress, whether you were a prostitute. I don't care. Oh, I don't care, but I want to forgive you for your sin. I want to forgive you for your transgression. I want to bring about a change in your life. I want to see a turnaround in your life. I want you to be saved. So in the word of God in John 3:16, I love that scripture. For the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe today that God wants us to have everlasting life in him. I believe that God wants to restore, God wants to make us whole, even if he wanted to bring Naaman back to his normal state. He wanted to cause him, his flesh, to be healed, that flesh to be the flesh of a baby. Oh, my God. But all he had to do is obey. And all it is with the people of God, you have to obey God. Somebody say, if I was in this church, if I was in that church, I was in that denomination, oh, I will be healed. But except you do it the way that God will call you to do, not the denomination. It's the word of God. Except we be obedient to the word of God. The word of God said every knee will bow, every tongue will confess before him. So therefore it let us know that we have to be in line with God's word, line by line, precept by precept. That let us know that we have to have that relationship with him like never before. We know that we're living in those last days. We're living in a day that the word of God let us know that we don't know the day. We don't know the hour that he's coming. The word of God let us know that he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. Don't you want eternal life? Don't you want abundant life in Christ Jesus? Don't you want to be saved? Don't you want your sins forgiven? Oh my God, it's time for us to say yes, yes to God's will, yes to his will, yes to his way. Not our way. Naaman wanted to have it his way. He wanted to be healed his way. Don't you imagine if a person that is sick and that need to be healed of their infirmity, of their sickness, and they're trying to cure themselves by their own means and not by God, by the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God, that person will not live, but that person will die. And that's the state of mind that Naaman had. That's the state of mind that men and women, boys and girls, have sometimes today. They want to heal themselves. They want to go and do things and save themselves. They want to walk according to their own righteousness and not the righteousness of God, which is by faith. But I'm telling you this morning that you need to know Jesus Christ. You need to know the man that gave his life for you, that died 2,000 years ago for our sin and for our transgression. Yes, he was Father in creation. He was Son in redemption. He was Holy Ghost back in the church. I want you to know today that you can have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You can know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords by there being a prophet in Israel, without being a man in Israel. He was able to give God glory and all the honor because even Syria, they would hear what God did in Israel. They would do hear what God did from the man Naaman, from this man of valor. They'll know that God healed him, God delivered him, and it was not, and God let even the prophet didn't, although they sent all of the monies and all of these things to the king and all the things that Naaman wanted to give unto the prophet, yet God would not, the man of God did not take any of it because he knew that it was not him, but it was a Christ that lived within. I love that scripture in Galatians 2:20. It said, I crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's the Christ that lives within me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. So I thank God for that testimony. So it ought to be Christ that lives within us. It should not be that old man talking foolishness. It should not be that old man that's walking in the oldness of life, that we ought to walk in the newness of life. I thank God. I thank God for that little maiden. I thank God for the maiden that they have taken from the land of Israel. I thank God that she was able to speak to Naaman's wife and let him know that, yes, you don't have to stay in a condition that you're in. You don't have to continue in this disease of leprosy. And that's my message for you today. You don't have to stay in a condition that you're in. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to burn forever and ever and ever. But you can live this life of Jesus Christ. You don't have to die. You don't have to die in your sins and your transgression. All you need to do is ask the Lord to forgive you for your sin, to come into your heart and to save you, because God came to seek and to save them that are lost. So this morning, all over the America, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to the nation. I'm speaking to those that are in sin. I'm speaking to those that are here in Jacksonville. Yes, we are coming live. The Breakthrough Broadcast, our power is coming live for the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Not only for Jacksonville, but every city, for every state in the United States of America. We want you to be saved. We want you to be delivered. We want you to be made free. And you cannot do it by your good works. You cannot do it in the way that you think that you should do it. But you got to live this life of Christ Jesus. The Bible says, to study yourself, approve unto God, a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the truth, the word of truth. He said, ye shall know truth, and the truth will make you free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to be made whole? I want you to know even now, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And I want everyone that's out there that's listening to airwaves, if you know that you're not saved, you know that Jesus Christ is not in your life, if you know that you are a backslider, I want you to get ready to come back to God this morning. I want you to get ready to give your life to Christ this morning. Jesus is waiting for you. Whosoever will, let him come. And you can come today. All you need to do is just repeat after me. But you got to believe it in your heart. You got to know by faith that you are saved. You got to know by faith that Jesus will deliver you. You got to know that Jesus has forgiven you for your sin. Our Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, forgive. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, forgive me for every sin, for every transgression. Just repeat after me. For every sin, every transgression, God, come into my heart. Lord, save me, God. Oh, God, I want to be made afresh. God, I want to be made anew. God, I want to be born again. God, just as you told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again, Lord, I want to be born again, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, do it in my soul, in my spirit. Lord, cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. Lord, I thank you for saving me and delivering me and for making me whole, in Jesus' name. And everyone that prayed that prayer with me today, I want you to know that the Lord has forgiven you for your sin. I want you to know that God has come into your heart. I want you to know that God has cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness, and he will remember it no more. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray even now for the radio audience, God, that you will touch them, and Lord, that you will cause them, Father God, to know you, God, even in a greater way, and God, that they will stand on holy ground, and God, that they, Father God, will receive, Father God, from you each and every day, God, that they receive your word with thanksgiving and praise, God, that they will thank you and glorify your name, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that they will worship the holy and the true God. Oh, Father, I ask the Lord to have your way, God. God, to give them, Father God, more of you, Lord God. I ask the God in Jesus' name, even as I pray, God, to look upon those, Lord God, that are in desperate need of you, Lord God. Oh, God, show them, Father God, that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by you, Lord God. Oh, God, open doors for them. God, there's somebody, God, many people, God, that in need of finance, Lord God, can't pay their bills, can't pay their mortgage, God, can't pay, Father God, their telephone bill, Father, their shoes, children need shoes, God. Oh, God, touch them right now, Father, in Jesus' name. God, open doors for them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father God, oh, God, make a way where there seems to be no way. Somebody, God, in Jesus' name, God, need a job. Oh, God, open the windows of heaven, Father, on their behalf. Oh, God, do it even now. Oh, God, somebody has oppression. Oh, God, depression. Oh, God, that person that was schizophrenia. Oh, God, heal right now. That person, God, with bipolar disease. Oh, God, heal right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you right now for ministering to your people. Thank you for touching your people this day and this hour, Lord God. And God, for this, God, we give you the glory. God, we give you the honor. And God, we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And God, we thank you. Amen and amen. Oh, what a glorious day. Oh, what a glorious morning. Oh, thank you for joining us this morning on the Breakthrough Hour of Power with the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary McCoy. And we want you to join us on Monday and Wednesday and Friday of every week, that you will be blessed in the name of Jesus. The Word of God is here for you to make the difference in your life. So we want you beginning on Monday. We'll be with you on Monday, on Wednesday, and Friday. We'll be back on the air on Monday of next week at 7 a.m. And we, until then, we want you to continue to give God the praise and the glory. And don't forget, on Saturday at 4 o'clock on the Blog Talk Radio, we will have our panel, the Breakthrough Panel of Men and Women, Anointed Men, Men and Women of God, that is discussing and that is giving revelation and understanding of God's Word, the right and divided, the Word of truth. And we want you to join them on this coming Saturday at 4 o'clock. They're going to be talking about Abigail, Wise and Determined, and that central truth will be Wise and a Vigilance Can Avert Serious Conflict. That's what it takes. Will be taken from 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, verse through the 42nd verse. So at this time, we want to bless the Lord for you. This is, again, the Breakthrough Broadcast Hour of Power, Dr. Mary McCoy. God bless you, and we will looking for you and listening for you to be with us on our next broadcast in Jesus' name.